Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
So, hello everybody and welcome to another China Business Cast. Mike here as always. Hey Mike.
Hey, hey.
So Mike and I have been chatting a little bit before starting to record, and Mike is like, I'm in a rush, I need to go on a workshop. And it's like, what's this workshop? And apparently there is a really hype around, obviously, social media in China. So this is what it's all about. So Mike, what that is and why you have to run?
Yeah, literally, it's Thursday and I'm in Hong Kong, and there's a digital marketing in China seminar at the co-working space Playgrounds. And yeah, I'm the only presenter. It's a small fee and we're just testing it out. But yeah, in Hong Kong, there's a huge demand, I guess, everywhere about WeChat. I'm going to mostly focus on WeChat, but of course, I'm going to talk about other platforms like a little bit of Baidu and other social media. Oh, Baidu's not really social media, but other Chinese digital marketing kind of thing. So yeah, as always, both of us, you know, we're very ambitious and we do tons of stuff. So.
And what about this? You told me about this project for a Shenzhen trip for showing up. Innovation in Shenzhen.
Yeah, so basically we had, you know, I wish you could have made it to Cross-Border Summit, but yeah, it's kind of like a direction, you know, cross-border e-commerce, cross-border business. And there, from that event, a lot of people wanted to learn more about cross-border warehousing and specifically Qianhai, which is a free trade zone in Shenzhen. So my amazing wife, which I should get on this show,
we should get her on the show, definitely.
That is true. She's great, but she worked some magic with the government, and they're excited to meet some foreigners. And you know, it's gonna be a small kind of group. It's a premier event for visiting the different companies there, the incubator. We're gonna have the government speaking in English as best they can, or I think they're gonna have a translator about opportunities, and they welcome more international businesses to come there. So it's a whole day on Friday, July 29th. So if you're listening, you might be a little bit short notice, but we're taking people from Hong Kong over to Shenzhen, and you can check it out at globalfromasia.com/QH for Qianhai, and then trip, TRIP. So yeah, I'm trying to do
you
more
can
of
add
these
this to show notes. Don't worry, guys.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks, Shalom. And you got some cool stuff going on. You got your big birthday tomorrow. While we're releasing the show, it's gonna be your birthday. That's just awesome.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's not really a big birthday. It's a birthday.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I know it's the bigger the number, the less exciting as it is, right?
Yeah, I can live with that.
Cool. Well, so, and then another birthday is your blog, startupnoodle.com, which is, you said, 4 years
or
5 years?
Yeah, 4 years. 4 years old. Started when about 5 months after arriving to China. I wanted to help other entrepreneurs, and it's now 4 years old, and a lot of things happened thanks to that blog. So I'm really excited and happy about it.
Yeah, and we're also talking about your Forbes. You've been a contributor at Forbes for China, and that's amazing. And it's, I think, yeah, like a lot of people want to get into, you know, these big brands, but I think it's all about, like, what you and I do is these, you know, we just get out there. We make as best content as we can, and we make things happen. So yeah, you deserve it, man. It's a great day for you.
Thank you. The Forbes thing is definitely thanks to Startup Noodle and the content which is out there. And, you know, just like everything, you got some better times when you got good content to put in. You got some times that it's harder and you're kind of frustrated of what should I put next and what my readers would want. So that's an ongoing thing and kind of a journey. But the key point is just keep on going.
Yep. Just like anything, if it's worth getting, it's going to be, not I want to say hard, but it's going to take time.
Exactly. Okay, want to introduce our guest?
Sure. So we got a good one, you know, talking about WeChat and social media. We have a good expert, Matt Brennan from China Channel. This is based in Beijing, but I believe he's moving down or relocating to Shanghai or considering it. I don't want to break any news, but yeah, he shares about how small businesses can leverage WeChat for China business, you know, kickstarting or getting off the ground. So it's a good one.
Awesome. Let's jump in.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into another China Business Cast. It's Mike here. And hey, Shlomo, how are you?
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Great, great. We have an exciting show today. We have Matt Brennan from the ChinaChannel.co. Thank you for being here, Matt.
My pleasure.
Sure.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, yeah. So we are excited to have you on. We're going to try to keep this. This could be a very long, in-depth episode, but people are always excited about WeChat. And that is what you guys are all about, right? Or chat business. You know, maybe you can just fill us in on what China Channel is and what you guys are working on.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. You're right. WeChat is kind of a seriously, seriously hot topic in China, has been for a couple of years now. Everybody's living their lives on this platform. And I guess that's what really inspired us to get into this space at the beginning. China Channel, we are based in Beijing. We focus on WeChat events, workshops, trainings, and consultancy as well. We do a little bit of client work, but not much at all. It's mainly focused on sort of the educational aspect, I would say. We've got also some strong media in this area. We post information about WeChat on a regular basis, and a lot of people, that's how most people know us actually, is from the WeChat account. So we build up quite a bit of following on that.
Great.
But that following probably Chinese followers, and you probably aiming for foreigners. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
We focus exclusively on the international community, so we don't bother writing anything in Chinese. That's quite a very competitive area. Actually, there was a time when we were starting out where we were trying to sell WeChat services to Chinese companies, and we learned pretty quickly that that's a really tough sell. Chinese companies aren't really, most of them. I mean, this is when we were in Chongqing, actually. This is last year. So I've actually been in China for like 11 years. Quite some time doing, and I was running a team of about 10 people in Chongqing. And when we started out doing China Channel, we were trying to sell to Chinese companies, and you know, in tier two, tier three, those places, there's not too many companies that are willing to buy digital services from foreigners, basically,
or anyone at all. And, right, it's hard to sell services.
Yeah,
to Chinese.
You could say that.
Yeah. And then also, so really quick, you know, I just like to mention you guys started this venture at a startup weekend in Shanghai, or how did you guys get started with the China Channel?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story, actually, really interesting, because I know Mike, you were involved in startup weekend as well, right?
Yep.
Back in the day, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that on your LinkedIn profile, so you can't deny it.
I can't deny it. LinkedIn, it never lies.
That's right. So Startup Weekend, I think, is an awesome concept. And, you know, for those, I didn't know what Startup Weekend was before I went. So I was in Chongqing, and one of my old friends said, hey, they were starting a business in Chengdu at the time. They said, hey, come down to the Startup Weekend. I looked at the materials. It looked really interesting. But we were a little bit intimidated because we were in Chongqing, and the event was in Chengdu. And maybe you guys know, or maybe some listeners don't know, that those are probably the two biggest cities in southwest China. And they used to be in the same province, and now they're not. And there's sort of a strong rivalry between those two places. And it's certainly in terms of the foreign community, you know, Chongqing is much smaller than Chengdu. So we came into that event feeling like, oh no, we're like the hillbillies from Chongqing. we're going to be laughed out of Chengdu. And we didn't know what to expect. But, you know, we had an awesome experience at that startup weekend. We met a lot of cool people, had a great time. We ended up coming second in that competition, which we totally didn't expect. We had an idea that was based around a WeChat CRM. For American universities. We had a girl on our team who worked in an American university, and she said they were managing their contacts in China through using tools like Excel. And they really had no sort of presence on WeChat or capability of using that to systematically managing the leads and the communication. So that was what we built the idea around. And all the mentors and all the judges, they gave a lot of like really enthusiastic encouragement to us, saying, you know, run with this. WeChat's so hot right now. You know, do something in this area. And when we came back to Chongqing, then we just kept it going through doing our own events. We weren't really serious about the CRM idea. you know, we ran the math on that and worked out if we're going to have a couple of salespeople in Los Angeles doing that, it doesn't really make too much, it's not too interesting financially. Certainly, this topic of WeChat and at the time and even and still now, like every business has to use this platform pretty much in China. So the scope of what's possible in this area is really interesting. And we started doing our own events and we started our own media at the time and we got massive traction on both. So that's how we got started. That's the story, I guess.
Cool. So Matt, interesting.
So Matt, due to Startup Weekend. So
good old startup.
I mean, we've been doing stuff with WeChat for marketing purposes before that. I remember at the time thinking that just before that event, I was sort of evangelically going around to every one of my friends saying, open a WeChat account for English language stuff, because there really wasn't much out there at the time. This is, last year in, I would say about April. And now it's just been flooded. You know, a year later, there's a lot of English language content on WeChat now. So in that time period, but you know, like my brother took my advice. He's an artist in Shanghai, and he started blogging on the WeChat platform over a year ago, and he got real traction as well. And he's now turning that into a business as well. So it's quite a powerful platform, but it's certainly the competition on there is got a lot fiercer in the past year.
Let's talk about those numbers here. I mean, you're writing this WeChat trend, and which is, as you said, and we all know, half of people's time is on WeChat now when they're on their mobile. Just some of the numbers for summer 2016, users, official accounts, stuff like that. What people are missing if they're not using WeChat?
Okay. In terms of monthly active users, common way that messaging apps measure the number of people these days. We're looking at 762 million. That's like a 39% increase on last year. That's quite impressive. I mean, that's basically, there was some other data that came out last year where they gave the statistic of something like 93% saturation rate in tier one for WeChat usage. Which is quite incredible considering that's the entire population. So it includes the elderly and, you know, babies and things like that. So that's incredibly high because a lot of people in tier two have two accounts. So one for business usually and one for personal.
I had spoken that they just use, I mean, everybody just use one account for everything. So it's really, let's say, intertwined the personal and the business aspects when you're going to use WeChat, except for the official account, obviously.
This is a feature of WeChat that people are talking about a lot, actually, because in China, it's quite different from in the West. Chinese people are very comfortable mixing work and pleasure, work and personal together on one platform, whereas in the West, we like to separate that. So I think that is a quite interesting distinction between sort of Asian messaging apps and perhaps the rest of the world.
All right, cool. So then listeners, you know, I feel like everybody must have heard about WeChat and, you know, it's taken over China. But I think a lot of our listeners are SMEs, you know, they're not multinationals hopefully there's multinationals listening today, which, you know, everybody, all the agencies in China love, right? But how about these smaller guys and smaller companies that are maybe not even in the Chinese market yet and they have limited budgets? Is it possible for them to do something here with WeChat where we are now in today's market?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible to do something. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's getting more and more competitive. There's definitely a flood of information on WeChat now. People are using WeChat. Most businesses are using it in a sort of content marketing way, pushing content out on the platform. So in terms of, you know, getting views on articles, which is a metric that a lot of people use, I don't think it's a particularly good metric. But certainly a lot of businesses, that's how they measure their success on the platform in terms of followers and views on articles. That's extremely competitive now. Yeah, quite difficult to do. Not impossible, but quite difficult. In terms of the wider ecosystem, it's something that brands and businesses can't ignore. It's definitely the easiest way for consumers in China to share information is through the WeChat platform. So if you don't have an official account where you can format articles using the WeChat backend so that they load quickly and easy to share, all the other advantages that you can gain through having the official account, you're definitely missing out. But solely relying on that is going to be, I wouldn't recommend putting all your eggs in the WeChat basket.
Mm-hmm. The WeChat, so the overseas businesses and the WeChat accounts, can they reach local Chinese by opening their own official account? I know that sometimes, or maybe it's mandatory now, you have to have a Chinese business in order to open an account. So can they do that? And if not, then those official accounts can only reach overseas people and not Chinese crowd, Chinese audience. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a good point. So this is a question that a lot of people have, and it's an area that confuses a lot of people because there's two completely separate platforms for official accounts. In fact, when Tencent releases their financial data, their quarterly reports, they often refer to WeChat as WeChat and Weixin, which doesn't mean they're two different apps. There's only one WeChat app, but it means there's two different platforms for official accounts. One of which is hosted within China, and the other one's hosted, I believe, in Hong Kong. The servers are in Canada as well. What that means is that if you want your official account to be visible to people in China, you need an official account on the Chinese platform, not the official accounts for international WeChat users, because those ones won't be visible. Now, that division is for political reasons. The Beijing rules, and if you're on the international version, then you don't have any of that censorship or any of those concerns. So it's based on that. It's not for technical reasons or anything like that. But the key requirement that catches a lot of people then is if I'm opening an official account, pretty much all of WeChat users are in China. So if you're just marketing for those outside of China, that's really, you're really limiting yourself. Everyone who's interested in this platform for business purposes is going to be interested in opening a Weixin account, mainland China account. And to do that, you need to register it under a Chinese business license. So this is the sticking point that a lot of SMEs will have.
So, yeah, you're talking about official accounts. And honestly, even for me, I've known WeChat for years, but it still feels so multidimensional and so complex. But, I think the barrier, one of my earlier questions was, somebody outside of China, they don't want to, or aren't maybe ready to open up a local Chinese company. I guess they are stuck either getting a overseas WeChat account that can't reach Chinese people or trying to use a personal WeChat account to reach Chinese people, right? I mean, I feel like maybe these bootstrapping, maybe overseas entrepreneurs are better off just leveraging personal accounts and groups for a while, or is, I know it's limiting, but it just feels very difficult. I'm just kind of picture, a listener sitting in America right now faced with the idea of making an official account with their US company that can't reach Chinese people, which, the numbers outside of China are not nothing like the numbers in China. So I feel like it might not be worth that for them, right? So they can leverage personal accounts, I guess, is my question. Or, I just feel like I'm just still thinking about the listener and what they can do, I guess.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. I think for larger businesses, they could be looking to work with an agency that would let them use their business license. Obviously, that's got to be a trustworthy, there's a little bit of risk on their side. A lot of businesses aren't willing to do that, but some are. For smaller operators, using a personal subscription account is totally possible. That's a type of official account that you don't need a business license for. You'll just need someone's ID card, a Chinese person's Shenfeng Zheng. What you're able to do on those kind of accounts is very limited, though, compared to a verified service account. But certainly, it's an option that a lot of people use. And then the third one, which you just mentioned, is using a personal account, using options like groups and adding contacts and posting stuff in your moments that are advertising services. And yeah, there's a lot of people doing that as well. In fact, I was just writing an article today about that. We did some research on these kind of, on these, what I call sort of WeChat hacking apps, where you can buy them on Taobao and it allows you to open up like 10 different WeChats on your phone. And then it has all this automated software for adding contacts from groups and spamming people and stuff like this. And allows you to post all these like different forms of video advertisements in your moments and stuff like that. So there's definitely a market for that. And a lot of people are doing that in China. And if you're, I personally don't recommend doing that. I don't think that's a good way to sell, but certainly there are people doing that. But making usage of WeChat groups is something for a small business can be very, very valuable. Just things like customer research and speaking to your customers about your product, about your services, it can be incredibly valuable.
Got it. Matt, can you tell us a bit about your own WeChat channel account? I mean, how did you get it to the level it is? And how did you get the initial following? Because, you know, nobody can find you on the first, let's say, few months. Nobody knows about you. So, yeah, so how did it grow?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for us, we made a commitment to post one article per day for a month back in August last year. And I kind of, at the time, didn't realize what a commitment that would be. It kind of became a massive commitment time-wise, because writing quality content is really time-consuming. And but it worked. It definitely worked. I think back then at the time, there wasn't so many people writing about WeChat. Now there's a lot more in English anyway. And it gained traction. And there was a couple of articles where we definitely, they went viral, I guess you could say. They got much higher views than normal. And those were things like statistical reports with lots and lots of data, had just been released by Tencent at a conference that we went to. That was one. That was a big one. Another one for us was we put forward a theory that the globe, when you open WeChat, there's a globe. There's what sort of a blue marble type thing. The little kid looking up at the world, but actually you can't see China on that map, which is kind of strange. And you can't see America either, but you can see South Africa. Quite clearly in the middle, and not a lot of people know, but actually Tencent is one third owned by Naspers, which is a South African company. I believe it's the largest company. So our theory was that was kind of a salute, a sort of nod to their African owners, why they didn't have China in the picture. And a lot, you know, content like that of like interesting, you know, sort of aha, something that gives people a reaction. You know, something they didn't know. That's the kind of stuff that does really well on WeChat.
Cool. Okay, another African-Chinese connection.
Yeah, it just keeps on going. I keep learning more of these African connections. So you've been mentioning it.
Look it up. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
You should look it up. It's an interesting story. Yeah, you know, the largest internet company in China is actually one third owned by Africans.
Which is very interesting, because I thought, you know, I guess it's an overseas company, but it's hard to own a Chinese internet company, right? As a non-Chinese investor, but
yeah, it is. Believe it or not, at one point, Tencent found it very hard to monetize. They hadn't worked out how to monetize properly. So Tencent's actually a very special company, I think, because their business model relies mostly on value-added services, which is sort of micropayments. And things like games and on the QQ platform as well. WeChat's actually a loss-leading product. I don't think they've managed to make money overall on WeChat yet. They make a ton of money on games and a ton of money on QQ, but like the way that they monetize is quite different from most other, you know, global internet giants.
All right, very cool. So you mentioned earlier in the show, and I'm agreeing with you, as WeChat has become basically a necessary tool in China and everybody's on it, that means, of course, there's way more noise and way more, you know, posts and messages. So I guess maybe you can say this with Facebook or Instagram or anything too, but, you know, any tips for standing out from the rest?
Sure. I think number one, it's about quality, not quantity. You've got to be regular in terms of what you're producing. When you build a followership, people got to have expectations about, you know, how often you're going to post and what your voice is, I guess. Another tip is to be different, find some clever angle to do something a little bit different. Just doing what everyone else is doing on the platform or your competitors are doing is really not going to gain you much traction. Now, obviously, that's a little bit vague. You might be thinking, you know, how can that translate down to what I'm doing? But it really depends on what you're doing. It's a different answer for everybody, and it's not something where in one paragraph I can give you this, you know, silver bullet that you know, can solve the problem for everyone. If it was that simple, you know, everyone would be getting fantastic results. But yeah, overall, being different, finding some way to do that. And if you're writing articles, you know, getting people to have an emotional reaction to what you're doing is also quite important.
Okay, Matt, we're getting to a little bit over the half an hour mark, so we're towards the end of the show. And do you perhaps want to tell our audience what's the best way to reach you? Any channels that you have? WeChat, but also others, email, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever. What would be the best ways?
Sure. If you want to reach us, I guess our website is the best way. ChinaChannel.co. not .com, .co. And on our website, we actually have some pretty popular resources that a lot of people use. We have a long list of WeChat tools and WeChat platforms, because if you're running an official account, you're almost certainly going to be using a lot of different tools and stuff to help you do that, or you should be at least. And so I think we have probably, for English language information on there, that's the largest list that is out there. We have a list of all the official WeChat platforms and resources out there. There's quite a few things that they have now. We have a list of there's just a lot of resources on there now. We have our blog, obviously, where we have lots and lots of content as well. So check that out, and then you can contact us through there. We also do we do an event series called Chat, which we do together with Walk the Chat, Thomas and Jenny. And that's coming to Shanghai soon. So if you want to meet up in person, and you can do that down there. We hope to be taking that to Shenzhen as well. We did one in Beijing earlier this year. It was very, very successful. So if you want to meet us in person, that's definitely the place to do it. We're also on LinkedIn. And obviously, we have our WeChat channel. That's, most people know that, CHCH, China channel. We had to do it as CHCH because you can't actually use the word China when you open up an official account. Yeah, it was like we were doing that at the beginning, and I was like, why is this? I can't, you know, is there some problem? I can't input our name into this our WeChat ID, but they don't allow you to use China. So we had to change to CHCH. And then actually a lot of people started just calling us like CHCH, not China Channel. A lot of people know us as sort of like Chucha or something like that,
which
was really weird at the beginning.
I do have to agree. I sometimes... until I got to know you guys more, I thought it was CHCH or Chacha or something was your brand.
Yeah, good brand. Yeah, name. Which is kind of funny. We've kind of embraced it. We don't mind. We think it's quite amusing, and it's certainly original and stands out. So, yeah.
Great. Thanks so much, Matt, for coming on, and I'm sure listeners will get some more insights on the ever-growing WeChat ecosystem for their business.
I hope so. It's been great.
Thank you.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.